Harper Audio presents The Invention of Fire, a novel by Bruce Holsinger, performed by Simon Vance. For Betsy and Bob. A note to the reader. The word handgun enters the English language in the final decades of the 14th century. The compound noun first appears in an inventory record from the Tower of London, occurring at the end of the phrase "Faur canones parue de cupro vocate handgones," for small copper cannon called handgones. These medieval handgones were metal tubes packed with gunpowder and fired with a burning coal or cord, a far cry from the sophisticated pistols and rifles found in modern arsenals. Yet across Europe, these decades witnessed unprecedented innovation and experimentation in the development of small arms, as gunpowder weapons grew increasingly portable, efficient, and thus terrifying. The emerging use of handgunners on the battlefields of Europe, as well as their appearance in civilian contexts, marked a crucial technological shift in the development of weaponry, as well as a subtle but profound transformation in the long history of human atrocity. And in the autumn of that year, in the village of Desserennes, a company came from the woods with small guns of iron borne in their hands, and laid great waste to the market, to the wares, and those who sold them along the walls, and in the eyes of God made wondrous calamity with fire and shot. Le Troisième Chronique de Calais, entry for the year 1386. Prologue. The water seeped past, groping for the dead. It was early on an ember Saturday, and low down along the deepest channel in London, Alan Pike braced for a fall. He sucked a shallow breath as, beside him, his son moved through the devilish swill. The boy's arms were thin as sticks, but lifted his full spade with a ready effort, even a kind of cheer. Good worker, young Tom, a half knob shy of 14. Reliable, strong, uncomplaining, despite all a gong farmer has to moan about, and that's a heavy lot it is down here in the privy channels, moving the fowl of thousands, helping the city streams breathe easy. Tom filled another bucket and hefted it to one of the older boys to haul above for the dung cart. From there it would be wheeled outside the walls, likely to feed some bishop's roses. Night soil, the mayor's men primly called it, though it had commoner names. Dung and gong, fex and flux, turd and purge and shit. Alan Pike and his crew, they called it hard work and wages. Dark work, mostly, as London don't like its underbelly ripped open to the sun, so here he was with his fellows a full 4 hours after the curfew bell, working in the calm quiet, a few leaps down from the loudest, busiest crossing in London, the junction of Broad Street, Cornhill and the Poultry, the stocks market, and everything else, the brassy navel of the city by day, a squalid gut in the night. Alan squinted through the pitch, peering past his son down the jagged line of buildings spanning this length of the Walbrook. 20 privies, by his estimate, most attached to private houses and tenements hulked up over the open stream, but two of the highest seats had been built to the common good for use by all. The Long Dropper, this great institution was called, and a farthing a squeeze the custom, the coins collected by a lame beggar enjoying the city's modest gesture of charity toward its most wretched. At night, though, no one was posted at the hanging doors up top. The parish was at a hush. The only sounds to be heard were the shallow breathing of his son, a faint snore from one of the houses above, the scurryings and chewings of the brook rats all round.
"Any closer, father?"
Tom, always respectful even when tired out, though Alan could tell he was ready to leave off. It had already been a long night.
"Let us have a look,"
said Alan, lengthening his back, hearing a happy pop. He legged it through the muck and mud to the middle of the stream. Earlier they had rigged up a row of lanterns on either end of the stretch to light the crew's work, show them what they were meddling with. In the past hour the stream had loosened up fairly well at the north end, but the water was still damming farther in, and as he squatted and peered through the stink, he had to shift both ways.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?